Good afternoon, Sarah. How are you?
Well, thank you, Kathy, and you?
All right, thank you. It's so interesting because, you know, is there still really a glass ceiling for women?
I'm not sure. There are so many factors involved in whether women do or do not or can or cannot get to the top. I think it's a very, very complex issue, and it obviously depends on where you are in the world. But if you basically live in a first world environment, and particularly if you're university educated or you're professional, your choices are without a doubt greater than they used to be. You can choose to stay at home and not work. You can choose to work and not have kids. You can choose to work and have kids and work part-time. The choices are much greater. And I think with the sort of movement to make men more sensitive, shall we say, men are becoming more accepting of women going up in the workplace. What I'm coming to is what I call a biological issue that may, to some extent, always limit the number of women in the workplace. In other words, it's unlikely ever to be demographically representative wherever you are in the world. And even a place, I think it's Sweden, is saying, you know, there are not enough women. We need to look at quotas for women at high levels, women at CEO positions. And this is anecdotal, and it's not entirely serious, but it is a bit serious. And I'm saying there's a sort of biological reason for why women are not likely in great numbers going to go to the very top. And that is this. Women, like a lot of men, they're more professional, often more legal professionals who are women than men. They move towards the top management track. They have their kids perhaps in their early 30s rather than their 20s. And by the time they're reaching the point where you get onto the CEO track, you're about late 30s, going into early 40s. And I think by that time, a woman like a man will have had a lot of experience in the field that they are in, and they know a lot, and they have a lot to offer. And then women, I think a lot of women take a look and say, do I need this in my life? Do I need to work this hard on a single-minded process? I'm not sure I want this. I may want to spend more time with my kids. I may want to diversify into something entirely different. And I think there's a difference between men and women. It's the sort of thing women may be more likely to do, whereas men are more single-minded. It's sort of the multitasking versus the single-tasking approach. And as I say, it's anecdotal, but a number of women have agreed with me that at the point where they are in a position to go on that track, they look and say, this is actually not where I want. I don't want to be working 20 hours a day under huge stress for the rest of my life. And I think that's partly a reflection of innate differences between men and women. It has nothing to do with prejudices, feminism, toxic masculinity, or any of those other issues. It is part of what makes women different to men.
So interesting, because you know,
I must be a woman.
Now we're getting something.
So you know what, Sarah? I've also met women who, because they didn't work, it disempowered them, and they also became trapped in marriages where they had to stay in because they could never afford to leave.
I think the social impact is a very real issue. And yeah. I think the problem is that not only you can't afford to leave, and you know that if you leave, you're very unlikely to be able to start earning
because you don't have the skills, a salary
that will be anywhere near commensurate with what you've lived under with a husband.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of it from a guy's perspective. I mean, I'm almost as, from the other perspective, I'm a victim in that I've been socialized to be told I've got to provide and support, and my happiness is secondary to my ability to earn. And so I have to spend the next 30 years in a career that is just making me utterly miserable, but I've got to do it.
So,
I think that's part of, you know, I believe that our inherent natures have informed our socialization, not the other way around. So when they talk about boys that's being socialized in a certain way and girls being socialized in a certain way, that's correct. But it originates with our different types of our biological different personalities. And the thing about where we are now is that what should be an increasing freedom for women should also be an increasing freedom for men, but much more a matter of negotiation and adjustment between the actual couple themselves. And, you know, that idea of being the provider, et cetera, I consider it would be old fashioned. I think that's very much, you know, something that's of the more recent generations to pursue. But again, let's put it this way. There's no way in relationships that it's very seldom that one party can be absolutely free to do what they like and the other party is not. They're always compromises. And I don't think that's ever going to change.
So interesting.
Simon, could you be a house husband? If you were given the choice.
I'd like a 2-year sabbatical. Yes, I would very much like that, but I don't have the luxury of doing that, and I wouldn't be able to do that.
As a sabbatical. I'm saying, would you be a house husband?
I would need to do something. The thought of doing absolutely nothing for a large period of time is very appealing. I'm sure going goo-goo gaga every day with a 3-year-old would drive me mental. But, you know, it's,
So it is biological.
The thought is no.
I think to large, I mean, look, let's be honest. There are times I could have shot myself with very small children. I was much better with children I could talk to and debate with. And so therein you can't make presumptions about your identity, if we can use the current parlance. But that Simon kind of highlights that what is a difficulty for him is in fact a difficulty for a lot of women. And that's where the compromises come in, and so you don't always get entirely what you want. It's entirely dependent on the nature of the relationship and the nature, of course, of the jobs they do.
So that's an interesting point, Sarah, because an article I read some time ago was saying that male skills are no longer valued in the world. Female skills are valued in the world. The ability to sit, to concentrate, to be exact, to thread a needle, to play with a computer mouse, to be exact, to click, to, and boys want to go out and get ADD and want to play in the sun and kick a ball, and that our skills are no longer, you don't need hunters anymore.
Well, you see, I think boys are becoming girls in that case because there are so many boys who become so wedded to
our expectations,
social media,
and
computerization.
And
it does suit that very, in many respects, that very single-minded approach. So I'm not sure, you know, at the end of the day, try as I might, there are certain things I cannot lift, spaces I cannot reach, and nothing is going to change that.
Isn't that interesting?
So interesting. I just want men to be men.
Yeah.
And probably some radical PC woman would get upset with what Sarah just said.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they would be. But the reality is that we portray a different personality because, I mean, let's put it, as you alluded to earlier, it's all about hormones, is my thing.
Yes. Sorry, gone. Thank you that. And, yeah, we will speak to you soon.
Wow, that was an interesting chat. Thanks.
Thank you so much. But she's always interesting.
She's certainly not afraid to speak her mind. That is absolutely for
Which
sure.
Which is why she's a policy fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations.
Yeah.